Welcome to the Nations Church Belmont podcast. We hope this message blesses you.
So I want to speak to you on a message in the short time I have with you called The Promise Fulfilled. The Promise Fulfilled. Two passages of scripture we're going to look at today, Luke chapter 2 and Matthew chapter 2. In the New Testament, you'll find them. But Luke chapter 2, 1 to 14 says this. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. And everyone went to their own town to register, so Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea in Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house of the line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and expecting a child. That was Jesus. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in clothes and placed him in a manger because there was no guest room available for them. And there were shepherds living out in fields nearby. They were keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone all around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all people." Good news for great joy. Today in the town of David, a Savior will be born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord. And this will be a sign to you that you'll find a baby wrapped in clothes lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth peace to those whom his favor rests." Jump with me for a second to Matthew chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. After Jesus was born in Bethlehem in Judea during the time of King Herod, Magi from the east came to Jerusalem and asked, "Where is the one who has been born King of the Jews? For we have seen his stars, when it rose, and have come to worship him." When King Herod heard this, he was disturbed, and all of Jerusalem with him. When he had called all the people's chief priests and teachers of the law, he asked them where the Messiah was to be born. "In Bethlehem in Judea," they replied, "but this is what the prophet has written: But to you, Bethlehem, the land of Judah, by no means amongst the least, for out of you will come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel." So Herod called the Magi secretly and found out from them the exact time the star had appeared. He sent them to Bethlehem and said, "Go search carefully for the child, but as you find him, report to me so that I too might go and worship him." After they heard the king, they went on their way. They found the star. On coming to the house, they saw a child who was with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. Then they opened their treasures, presented him with gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Having been warned in a dream to not go back to Herod, they returned to their country to go another route. The Gospel of Luke and the Gospel of Matthew give two beautiful passages, two different accounts about a promise given and a promise fulfilled. Angelic beings inspired by the Holy Spirit issue messages to shepherds and magi about a great high priest, a prophet finally that was here. But he was more than a prophet, more than a simple high priest. He was the Messiah, the Christ. He was the one who would be born now to deliver his people, to bring hope, to bring freedom, to set the captives free, to heal the broken heart. This was finally the one that everyone had been prophesying about for so many years. Finally, a promise was being fulfilled. Significant for the time, because in Roman times, in the Roman centurion time, in the Roman Empire, they were actually used to promises being broken. They were used to deals being unfulfilled. See, the Roman people were a selfish people. They were a materialistic people. Handshakes didn't mean deals. They would break deals behind people's back. It was a world of broken promises. It was a world of broken deals. And before we dismiss that world, it would be fitting for us to realize that we too live in a world of broken deals. We live in a world of broken promises. In fact, earlier this year, I entered the deep, dark world of broken promises, and that world was Facebook Marketplace. Facebook Marketplace, where I put some items up for what I thought was seemingly good prices, only to be met with constant requests. Would you like $30? No, the price was fixed. How about $20? I don't think you understood me the first time the price was fixed. I'll be there in 20 minutes. Just hold the goods for me. Okay, would you like me to give my address? No reply. Hey, I'm in New South Wales. Can you ship it to me? No, I can't. Okay, here's my address. I don't think you understood what I said. People saying they were going to rock up, not rocking up. The audacity of people to rock up with less cash than what I said I was selling it to them for, right? I see some nervous laughs in the room because that's you guys. That's why I don't post it to my friends on Marketplace. Leave the church out of it. But broken promises, man. Broken deals. We live in a world of broken promises. We live in a world of broken deals. So it was significant that after 400 years of silence, 500 years of prophecy, 700 years of words, 800 years of different encouragement, finally, a promise fulfilled. Because the reality is, as much as we like to think that we can keep our word, as human beings, we aren't perfect. We have broken words, broken covenants, broken promises. But I want to encourage you this evening, when God fulfills his word, he doesn't break his promise. And there's three things I want to speak to you about this evening. Number one is this, that God fulfills his promise to the ones who have everything or the ones who have nothing. I don't think it's any coincidence. I don't think it's any accident. I don't think it just popped up in Scripture. It was Holy Spirit inspired that there were two distinct groups of people told about the birth of Jesus. The shepherds. The shepherds, the insignificant shepherds. You need to understand in the day and age, shepherds were teenagers. In fact, if you wanted to be a shepherd, usually it was passed down to the youngest in the family, to the runt of the family. Just look after what you can. Like, just go out there, make yourself useful. And so shepherds, lowly shepherds, get given the news of the king. But on the other side, magi, astronomers, people who the king looked up to because they wanted them to read the stars for them. They wanted to know when their kingdom would fall and when their kingdom would last for. They were well respected in the community. They were people who had status. They were people to have influence. They weren't believers yet. The shepherds were Jewish believers, we're told. Two distinct groups of people. And it's no accident in Scripture that two distinct opposite ends of the spectrum are used. It's almost as if God's saying, whether you think you have everything or you think you have nothing, I still fulfill my promise. Whether you think you're a believer that's been believing for 20 years or you're still wrestling with that decision. Man, God, I don't know if you're real. I'm still wrestling. I'm wrestling with Scripture. I'm wrestling with these prayers my grandmother prayed. I don't know. God still fulfills his word. Whether it's the story of 2,000 years ago that God didn't discount one group or another. God fulfilled his promise in Jesus to the ones who had everything and the ones who had nothing. He fulfilled his promise in Jesus to the ones who were believers and the ones who weren't believers yet. God fulfilled his promise. That's good news. It's good news. Because if you're in the room right now and you're in a position where this Christmas season, you need something more than the place you find yourself in. Maybe the backdrop of the life right now looks like hopelessness. He's the God who fulfills the promise of hope. Maybe in life right now you have a backdrop of death and despair, maybe trauma, loss of a loved one. You can live in the promise of the one who is eternal hope. Doesn't matter the backdrop, God still fulfills his promises. Amen. Second point is this, that God fulfills his promise despite opposition. Both in Matthew 2 and Luke chapter 2, we are introduced to one of the most grotesque features of human history. Make no mistake about it, what you read is more than just words on a page. It was a sickening, cowardly act that a king would order a mass genocide of a city of newborn babies, regardless of what they had done, who their families were, what they believed in, what they didn't believe in. This was genocide at its worst. You could excuse God for saying, hey, maybe let's wait till this passes over, till Jesus enters the scene. Hey, let's wait till the heat backs off before Jesus enters the scene. But Jesus is born in the midst of harsh opposition. In the midst of atrocities, here is Jesus. I want to remind you, friend, in this room, be encouraged that God keeps his promises despite opposition. Maybe you just need a reminder of that. Maybe you're feeling the heat. Whatever opposition looks like in your life, maybe it feels like friends or family, as PK preached about on Sunday. Maybe it feels like something else going on in your life. I don't know. I'm not naive enough to know what that looks like for you in this room. But if it feels like there's heat of opposition, you can be sure that God still fulfills his promise in Jesus. Amen. He still fulfills his promise in hope, in peace, in love, and in joy. Point three is this: the man often breaks promises, but God always fulfills his. We're told of the shady king called Herod, right? A shady king. He's like, hey, Magi, like, I know you heard about the star, but tell me where it is so I can find Jesus and worship him. He ain't want to worship Jesus. He wants to kill Jesus. He's already set aside a genocide to try and get to Jesus first. He wants to put down Jesus. He wants to break the very word that he put in place with the Magi. Now, before we remove ourselves from the stories, it's worthwhile in this point in the story to take a look inside. To take a look inside. Because no matter how good we are, no matter how morally good you feel like you are, no matter how great a year you've had, the reality is that no one in this room is perfect. Only Jesus is. And we can try and try our best. But I guarantee you, if I took an audit of your life this year, there would be at least one time where you broke your word. There'd be at least one time where you broke your promise. Maybe intentionally, maybe unintentionally, I don't know, but at least one time. I have three beautiful children. And from time to time, they'll catch me in random times and they'll know exactly when to get me. And they'll say random things like, you know, well, I'm in the middle of doing something, you know, hey, Dad, could you just promise to take us to Adventure one day? I'm like, yeah, whatever, cool. Hey, Dad, could you promise to, like, when you go to the shops next time, buy me a Coke? I'm like, whatever, yeah, cool. And just random stuff, right? Like, Dad, could you promise, like, tomorrow night, can I stay up till 10 o'clock? Yeah, whatever, cool. And I just forget. And the grief and the horror, it's like I've killed someone when I didn't mean what I said. It's like, how could you? You are meant to be my father. Do I need to find another father? You know, like the grief, the hurt, the pain. But that's often what follows when man breaks promises, isn't it? That's often what follows when man breaks covenants, isn't it? But that's not the God we serve. God keeps his word. In fact, he kept his covenant, not just keeping it, he upgraded it. In the Old Testament, they had to sacrifice lambs, but here came for once and for all the Lamb of God, the one who would save us, take away our sins, redeem his people. He didn't just take away an old covenant. No, it still remained. He upgraded it to be a new covenant. Because why? God keeps his word. He keeps his covenant. And whether you're in this place, you feel like you're in a dark place, you feel like, man, I don't know, guys, I'm disqualified from this whole thing. I feel like I'm disqualified from being in this room. I want to encourage you. Some 2,000 years ago, God kept his word in Jesus. Today, 2,000 years later, God keeps his word in Jesus. And for whatever your future holds, God keeps his word in Jesus. What is his promise that he keeps? Here's what it is in Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born. For unto us a son is given. The government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The promise to every single person in this room who can hear the sound of my voice is this: a promise for peace in the chaos, a promise for light in the darkness, a promise for hope where there is despair, a promise for salvation from captivity, and a promise from life, a promise from death, sorry, to life. Very shortly, we're going to sing a beautiful carol about us coming and adoring Jesus. And when we sang carols tonight, I get it, it can be great to be in a room where we can sing carols, and maybe they're just words for you right now. Maybe they're just something that you tick off this Christmas season to appease a family member or to say yes to someone that invited you. I don't know your story in this room. But as Christians, we believe these carols are more than just words. They're songs of adoration. They're songs of gratefulness. Because when you reflect on the Christmas story, you can't help but be grateful. You can't help but be filled with adoration. Because light came to darkness. God came down to us. We couldn't go up to him. And the reason he came down to darkness is he knew where to find us. We were living in darkness. And he fulfilled his promise. The Bible says at times where we are unfaithful, let us remember that he doesn't change. He is always faithful. And he kept his word 2,000 years ago in Jesus being born. Wherever you find yourself in this room, whatever circumstance, whatever situation, the highest of highs, the lowest of lows, I want to encourage you this evening. God still keeps his word. There is still hope in darkness. There is still life in death. There is still salvation wherever you find yourself trapped in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening. We hope you enjoyed the message. If you want to know more about our campus, you can go to nationschurch.com/au/Belmont.